Okay, we're holding, I'll say, Mishnah on the top of Yoram and Aleph. Interesting Mishnah. It's going to be, this is going to be, this Mishnah and the Gemara on it is kind of going to be a small scale preview of all of Shas, kind of going through many of the different areas of halacha that we come across in Shas. Mishnah says, "Hetin nedarim perchin ba'avir." The din of hataras nedarim, the concept that when you make a neder that you're able to go to a chacham and have him be matan neder. Appropriate to the time of year, perchin ba'avir, it flies in the air. It doesn't have anything in Torah Shebichsav to base itself on. We know it strictly from Torah Shebapeh, in other words, as Gemara will talk about. In Chassidus, it talks about the deeper idea of it, that heter nedarim is something beyond, it's something that comes from Chochmei Law, and therefore it's like perchin ba'avir, like there's nothing to anchor it in Torah Shebichsav, it's purely something in Torah Shebapeh. Sort of, yeah. Hilchas Shabbos Chagigas Ame'ilas, the halachas of Shabbos and of Chagiga and of Me'ilah, that if you take something that belongs to the Beth Mikdash that you chayev to repay it and bring a carbon, those things, harem karorim apluyin basaira, they are like mountains hanging on a hair. There's a huge amount of halachas, shen vikram mu'at, the halachas mirubas, you have very little psukim about each of them, and you have a lot of halachas. As the Gemara will explain, with each one of them, we have when we just learn the Mishnah, without the Gemara, we would understand in a general way what it means. For example, Shabbos, I mean, the Torah talks about Shabbos in many places, but the actual details of what Shabbos consists of, you don't really have very much explicit in the Pesukim. But the Gemara is going to take it in a different direction. Tosfos actually on Amud Beis seems to take out the word Shehein. They hold that Mikra Mu'at, the Halachas Merubas, is actually the beginning of the next section of the Mishnah. The reason why this Mishnah comes in here, by the way, one thing is because it's talking about Chagiga. Having talked about the dinim of Chagiga in the last few Mishnayos, the Mishnah goes and tells us you should know that many of the dinim of Chagiga are not even really to be found in Torah Shebichsav. You know a little bit of the basic concept of Torah Shebichsav, but more the details from Torah Shebichsav. There's also the Dor sort of Shonim of Sefer on Jewish History has an interesting idea. He thinks that in the earlier version of the Mishnah that existed before Rebbe actually codified it the way we had it, this was actually the end of Seder Moed, and I think he says maybe even the end of all Shishasuri Mishnah. So having gone through all Seder Moed, or maybe through all the Mishnah, then the Mishnah wants to sum up the different kinds of halachas, the different categories of halachas, the ones that are pretty much all Torah Shebapeh, the ones that are mostly Torah Shebapeh, and the ones that are more Torah Shebichsav. The Mishnah continues, Hadinin, the dinim, dinim momenus, dinim nefashis, all of the civil laws of and civil and criminal laws of nezikin, v'havoidus, all the dinim of avoida that are in kodshim, ataris v'atumos, the dinim of tara and tumor which are in taris, v'arayus and the dinim of arayus, yesh lahen al-mashi yismoku, those all have what to base themselves on. In other words, there's more on those in Torah Shebichsav. There's still, you wouldn't know a lot of the details. The Gemara is going to point out when it says Yesh Lahen Al-Mashi Yismoichu, makes it sound like even what we have on them in Torah Shebichsav is not enough. There's a crucial detail on each one of them that you need Torah Shebapeh. And the Gemara is going to go through it today, some of it today, some of it tomorrow, describing how each of these things, there's a crucial detail that's missing that you need Torah Shebapeh for. And the Mishnah finishes off, Hein Hein Gufei Torah. These things are the body, the essence of the Torah. Which it sounds like the Gemara, it sounds like the Mishnah is saying only this last group, only the Yesh Lahen Al-Mashi Yismeichu are Gufei Torah. The Gemara says, what do you mean? The Heter Nedarim and Shabbos and Chagigas and whatnot are also Gufei Torah. Right, and the Gemara is going to end up saying tomorrow that, right, it means that everything is Gufei. All the things mentioned in this Mishnah are all Gufei Torah. Don't think that one is more important than the other.
It means
essential components of the Torah. I'll tell you what it says in Pirkei, right? Kinin and Pischa Nida, Hein Ein Gufei Halachas. Even though Kinin and Pischa Nida, they're like such obscure topics and there's a lot of complicated math and statistics and whatever involved, don't think they're less important than other dinim. No, those are Gufei Torah. Similar thing that it's saying over here. It doesn't matter whether it's mostly Torah Shebaal Peh, mostly Torah Shebichsav, one or half and half, whatever, they're all Gufei Torah. Again, the Tzemach Tzedek, where he talks about this idea of a het and a dorim perchem ba'avir, he explains that on a deeper level, what the Mishnah means to say is that the ones that have a basis in Torah Shebichsav, those are the guf of the Torah. The one het and a dorim that doesn't even have a basis in Torah Shebichsav, that's more related to the neshama of Torah.
The Gemara comes to say,
The Gemara comes out, they're all Guf Eterna, in the sense they're all essential. But as far as, like, there's some ascetic takes it in the sense, like, Guf versus Neshama. Like, Heter Nedarim is a unique kind of thing that relates more to the Neshama of Torah than to the Guf of it, because it relates more to Torah Shabbat Peh, rather than the written down Torah Shabbat Sab. So Gemara says, Tanya, now, so the Mishnah had said that Heter Nedarim is Perchan Ba'avra, that's flying in the air, there's no real source in Torah Shabbat Sab for it, but we're going to have a several way machloikas that says, no, there in fact is a source for it in Torah Shabbat Sab. Tanya, Rabbi Yazaim, Yesh Lehem Amashi Yismoichu. The Heter Nedarim, there is a source for it. There is something to base it on in Torah Shabbat Sab. Shenema Kiyafli Kiyafli. The Torah says twice in two different places the expression Kiyafli. Kiyafli means when a person spells out. When a person, Arei Yafri, Shafi says, is the translation. When a person clearly states something. One of them is in connection with the jinn of Erchin, Kiyafli Be'erchus on the Flasher, that a person vows that I'm going to give my Erech, or your Erech, or what have you, to the Beis Mikdash, and the Torah gives a sliding scale for how much, depending on age and gender. And then there's a Kiyafli by a Nazir, Kiyafli Linda Nazir, that a person states, I'm going to become a Nazir, that he becomes a Nazir. Why does it need to say it twice? Shtei Pamim. Achas Haflah Le'isav, Achas Haflah Le'heter. One teaches us that there's a Haflah, there's an explicit statement that makes you Usur to do something. For example, an explicit statement, I'm going to be a Nazir, which makes you Usur now to drink wine and cut your hair, etc. And then there's a Haflah Le'heter, which is an explicit statement that you go to a Chacham and you say, yes, I know I made the Neder, but I didn't realize that, I didn't realize this consequence of it. And he can be master it on that basis. That's the second haflah, is that he explicitly says to the chacham, well, nowadays we do a beis din because we don't have a chacham mufla, but whatever, that, here are the detailed circumstances. This is the nether I made, and here's the specific reasons why I don't feel that I can hold on to it. So therefore, you have a source in the Torah for it. Rabbi Yeshua, I mean Yesh Lahem Amashi Yismachu. Rabbi Yeshua says here's another pasuk that shows that Heter Nedarim has a basis in Torah Shabbat Sab, not in Chumash actually, but in Tilim. Asher Nishvati Ba'api. The Ebishter says at the end of the Chunirana that I swore in my anger in Yivayin Omen Chasi that they won't come to my resting place. Which means Ba'api Nishvati B'Chazabi. The implication is I swore in my anger. The Ebishter says, but I'm able to change my mind. Now, what do we mean, I changed my mind? Tosfos asks, what do you mean? It's talking about the Dor HaMidbar. The Eved just swore they're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael, and they Taka didn't go into Eretz Yisrael. So Tosfos gives an answer that, right, but Im Yivoyin Omen Uchasi has a secondary meaning. It doesn't just mean coming into Eretz Yisrael. It means coming into Olam Haba. And that, there's Taka Machlokas in Sanhedrin. You have an opinion in Sanhedrin that the Dor HaMidbar has a Chelik in Olam Haba. So therefore, yes, the Eved just swore Ba'apoy in his anger that he's not going to let them come into Olam Haba. But he changed his mind and was able to be Matu Neder. That's what the Gemara asks about the Shapki Rabbi Akiva Lehem Nusa. Yeah, Rabbi Akiva, the big chassid, the big Oyev Yisrael, is the one who says over there that Ein Lehem Chelik Lehem Haba. Yeah, the Gemara finds that very odd. That Rabbi Akiva, but be that as may, that's the fact. Rabbi Akiva holds that way, but there's other Tanoim who hold differently.
Well, the Abki means temporarily.
So of course, right. Yeah, that's the implication. That's the implication. Not that it doesn't mean the Ebishter can unilaterally change it. Kavyachol, the Ebishter has to, Kavyachol, he has to go to a Chacham to be Matu Neder.
Chacham like him.
Okay, so who says that a person when he's Matu Neder has to go to Chacham and greater than him? He has to go in front of three people who know the dinim, or Yachid Mumcha, whatever.
The Ebishter.
So, okay, the Ebishter goes to whichever of the tzaddikim, whatever. Doesn't. The point Tosfos talks about, there's a Tosfos and Baba, an interesting Tosfos and Baba Basra that talks about it because there's a Gemara over there, one of the famous Rabba Baba Chana stories, where one time Rabba Baba Chana overhears a baskol of the Ebishter saying, Ochen vei, oi li, that I swore, and now that I swore, who's going to be able to be master for me? He didn't say anything. When he comes back home and tells the Chachamim that they were upset with him, they said, obviously the Ebishter was talking about the Shavuah to send the Yidden into Golos. You're Yochid Mumcha. You should have told the Ebishter Mutterloch, I'm Matir Neder to you, and then the Ebishter could take us out of Golos. So we see, though, that the Ebishter still can't unilaterally do it. He needs somebody. He needs a Rav Baba Chana to do it.
But in other words, it's a plea, more than a...
It's al derech like the Ebishter saying to Moshe, "Va'ata hanicha li," right? Like, leave me alone so I can destroy the Jewish people. And Moshe realizes, you know what? It depends on me. You know, I can stop this. Similar idea. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. you know, it says, B'chol Yom, you know, the final Tzrachim of Pirkei Avos, they're going to say the Shabbos, B'chol Yom V'yem Baskel Yotzes Ma'achor V'machrezes V'emeres. Who hears that Baskel? It's a famous verse that once in a while you feel this Aseret Teshuva, and you know, you don't know from where, that's that all of a sudden your Neshama tuned into that Baskel. Pay attention to it and do something about it. Rabbi Yitzchak says, here's another pasuk, right, where we can source the idea of Hataras Adonim. Shenema, also from Tehillim, David HaMelech says, Nishbati, I swore, Va'akayema, and I will fill, and I will fulfill it, Lishma Mishpatei Tzedkecha, to keep your righteous mitzvahs. Now, obviously, the point is, if he swore, obviously he's going to fulfill it, Moses Pesach HaTishmar. He doesn't have to pride himself on Va'akayema. The point is that if I wanted, I would have had the option to not Akayema. I could have been Matunetu. But I didn't. Once I made a shavua to do a mitzvah, then I'd go ahead and fulfill it. We'll talk about that soon. So that's four amiroyim then. Amar Shmuel, ihavoy hasim. If I was there when these tanoim were discussing it, have amilahu, I would have told them, didi adifa miditchu. I have something that's better than all of your proofs. Something from right there in connection with Hataras Adonim. Shenema lo yachel dvara. It says he shall not profane his word. He shall not treat it, Rashi says on the pasuk, as chulin, as something casual. Which means who ain't moichel aval acherim moichel. It means he can't be moichel his own neder, but others can be moichel for him. Now, when you go through these five proofs, all of them you can upschlag, all the ones from the Tanoim. Except for Shmuel's, you can't find a way to schlag it up. Why? The image of Rabbi Lezer, because if you, let's start with Rabbi Lezer, the ki yachli ki yachli. Who says that teaches us about Hataras Adonim? Duma, could you Rabbi Yehuda, Shama Mishum Rav Tarfin? Maybe those psukim are coming to teach us what Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav Tarfin. Or the second one, at least, comes to tell us that. That it's Dom D'Tanya, Yehudah Amir Mishum Rav. You have a case like this. The Mishnah and the Gemara in Nazir discuss various cases where a person says, based on such and such a contingency, I will be a Nazir. One example that it talks about over there, where Rav Tarfin says, is suppose you have somebody is walking into the room. You see him from afar, you can't recognize him. Reuven sits there and says, you know what, if that guy's a Nazir, then I promise I'm going to be a Nazir. And Shimon says, if that guy's not a Nazir, then I promise I'm going to be a Nazir. It was the kind of thing that people did sometime in those days, like they would make a neder like that, or a neder of Nazirus, like nowadays a person might say casually, I swear to God that such and such. In those days, somebody might do something like that.
Additional vows.
Yeah. Which it's not a good thing to do. The Mishnah at the beginning of Nedarim called such a thing Nidrei Rishayim. There's a good reason to become a Nazir where you need to control your Yetzahara. Stam because you said a statement and you want to back it up. There's not a good reason for that. But you know the fact is a Nazirus is a Nazirus. He still has all the dinim. So you have this case that this person is coming in. One guy is walking in. Reuben says I'm a Nazir if this guy is a Nazir. Shimon says I'm a Nazir if he's not a Nazir. No. Is he a Nazir? In the end, when he comes in, they see he is a Nazir or he's not a Nazir. So according to the Tanakhama there, whichever one, Reuven or Shimon, as the case will be a Nazir, whichever one the facts are according to. But Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rabbi Tarfon, no, La'olam ein echad mehem Nazir, in fact, neither of them is a Nazir, shalem nitin Nazirus elo ha'fla, because Nazirus involves, there has to be ha'fla. Ha'fla, we said, means a clear statement. There has to be, I am becoming a Nazir. There's no, if this and this is true, I'm becoming a Nazir. There's nothing like that. That's not Yachli.
It has to be a full commitment.
It has to be, yeah.
Without any condition.
Yeah, not without any condition, but it can't be besophic. Something like this, where you see the guy from afar and you don't know the fact yet. When you say, I'm a Nazir, you don't yet know the fact. That's not a valid, that doesn't make him a Nazir.
Yeah.
So therefore, fine. So the second key Yachli by Nazir doesn't tell us anything about Hataras Adonim. It teaches us this did by Nazir. So that proof goes away. Imid Rabbi Yeshua, you're going to use Rabbi Yeshua's proof about the api nishbat, asher nishbati ba'api, that they just said, I swore in my anger. Adarabah, dilma hachikama, maybe the pasuk means ba'api nishbati v'loya dar nabi. Because the Eivishtah means I swore in my anger, and I'm not going to change my mind. The ba'api, all it means is, Rabbi Yeshua had taken it in the sense that not necessarily was I matir neder, but I have the option to if I want to. but not necessarily. Maybe Fakir, maybe the Pasuk is saying, even though I swore Ba'api, nevertheless it's valid. Don't think that it was just something that I flew off the handle and I didn't really mean what I was saying.
So you can say either it's a clear, valid commitment or it's a conditional commitment. They're definitely both.
If you can understand it either way, yeah.
Therefore, we'll plug it up.
Yeah, exactly. Incidentally, the Medrash has a vote on this. You know, when we think about it, most kapitel tulim end on a happy note. That kapitel tzadikay doesn't mean shed nishbati ba'api mivoy namen uchasi. What kind of an ending is that for a kapitel tulim? So the Medrash in Vayikra Rabbah, I think in Bahar or Vuchokosai, that gives on it a mashal of a king who swore that his son is not going to be allowed to come into such and such a palace. But, you know, the king has charata, what's he going to do? So he tears down that palace and builds a new one. Okay, now the son can come into the new palace. It's not the one that he swore about. So the same thing, Kaviyachol, the Evisha says, Asher nishbati ba'api, I swore that im yivoyin ha-menucha. See, they're not going to be able to come into this menucha. But okay, there'll be another menucha that they'll be able to come into. There'll be another level of Gan Eden, another Bia Shlishis, the third Beis Hamikdash, yeah. Image of Yitzchak. We're going to go now. How about if we're trying to prove Hataras and Dorim from Yitzchak's pasuk, which was Nishvati Vakayem. No, Nishvati Vakayem is Chananya ben Achi Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yitzchak. Oh, you know what? I skipped a line before. I do this a lot. Okay, sorry. We had Asher Nishvati Ba'api Nishvati B'chazib. Rabbi Yitzchak Koymer before Chananya ben Achi Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yitzchak Koymer. Yesh lehem amashi yisloichu that Hataras and Dorim has what to base itself on. Shenem a kol mitziv libay. The Pasuk says by the Mishkan, everybody whose heart impels him, anybody whose heart is generous, which implies if your heart is in it, then go that your Vienna, then you bring your thing. But if your heart's not in it anymore, you regret what you said, then you mati neder. And then Chanani ben Echai Rabbi Yeshua is the one who says, Yesh lehem amashi yismeichu shenem nishbati v'akayem. Yeah, I skipped the four lines there. Okay. Anyway, so back to the Gemara. For a few lines down, if we're going to use Rabbi Yitzchak's proof from Kol Nadiv Livay, no proof. Dumala Pokim into Shmuel. Maybe those words Kol Nadiv Livay come to teach us not like what Shmuel says. Da'ama Shmuel Gama Belivay Tzarach Sheyotzi B'Svasa. Shmuel says that even that when it comes to a neder, even if you firmly made it up in your mind. It's not yet chal until you actually tzorach shiyotzi b'svasav. You still have to verbally say it. So then the pasuk would say, no, nediv libo is enough. Well, kamash malon, de'akadav de'lohotzi b'svasav. But no, even if you don't actually give it out with your lips, as long as you firmly made it up in your mind, then already it's chal. And by the way, the halacha is in fact like Shmuel in that. Even though the Gemara is saying over here that the pasuk might be teaching us the halacha is not like Shmuel, when it comes to hektish, the halacha is like Shmuel. When it comes to regular nedarim, no. Regular nedarim, you have to actually verbal or shavuot, you have to actually say them for them to be chal. A neder of hektish, if a person firmly decides in their mind, I'm going to donate this animal for a korban or give this object to the mitzvah or whatever, then it's chal. Not necessarily, actually. No, with tzedakah, as far as I know, it still has to be befeiv. Heck, I don't think tzedakah is. I didn't have a chance to look it up, but I'm fairly certain that tzedakah is not like hekdesh in that regard.
So this neder that he said, believer, does it include? It excludes nedarim. It has to be the davar mukhlah.
Right. So we're saying the halacha is that believer is enough, but that's actually talking about hekdesh. A neder of nazir is not a neder of hekdesh. I mean, it includes hekdesh obviously because you bring kabbonis, but it's not the primary aspect. No. A neder of hektish is a person is it makes a neder. I'm gonna bring a korban, or I'm gonna give X amount of money to the Beis Hamikdash or whatever.
There is, you could say the same. It belongs to, he gives himself to.
No, that's not the same thing. The person himself doesn't belong to hektish.
No.
No, it doesn't belong to hektish. At the end of it, it's nederus. He has to bring korban. Yeah. So anyway, so again, the Kol Nadiv Livay doesn't necessarily prove anything about Hataras Nedarim. It could be teaching us a different din. You're going to use the proof from Chanani ben Achir Rabbi Yeshua about Nishvati Rakayema. No, Dilma Kidur Rav Gidol. Maybe Dilma Kidur Rav Gidol Amar Rav. Maybe that pasuk is teaching us what Rav Gidol said in the name of Rav. Amar Rav Gidol Amar Rav. Minayin Shenishboyim L'Kayim Es HaMitzvah. How do we know that you can swear it to fulfill a mitzvah? You have something which it's a mitzvah. You said Yaakov Mushba V'Omen Mahar Sinai. You're already besworn since Har Sinai that you have to keep the mitzvah. But you feel a certain chalushus in it. You need to strengthen yourself. You need to give yourself that extra push to do it. So you swear to do it. How do we know you're allowed? How do we know you're allowed to do that? That's what David is saying. I swore and I fulfill it to do the mitzvahs. In other words, why I swear in order to give myself that extra push to the vachayema. So no proof that you could be matir such a neder.
To be matir such a neder
would be the same as being matir any kind of neder. You would have to say, you know, for example, let's say it was a neder. Let's say it was a neder to give tzedakah. You'd go to the shloisha mumcha, or whatever, and you tell them, look, I made this neder, I made this neder, but I'm having a hard time with it. I didn't realize my circumstances are going to be such and such or whatever. When we get to Masechta Nedarim, we'll go through all the details of Pesach and Charata and all that kind of thing.
But you don't have to make a condition within the neder to enable yourself to be relieved from that neder by seeing Chacham.
No.
Or do you?
No. What we say, Hatara Sedarim, Erev Rosh Hashanah, we say that if you just did a mitzvah, Shloish Apamim, and you didn't say B'li Neder, then already it's Chal as a neder, and you need Hatara Sedarim for it. Sometimes it can even be, you take something one time already, it can be, under some circumstances, it can be a neder. Technically, that's what the purpose of the Maida that we say by Asaras Nedarim, as well as Kol Nidre, technically that's their purpose, is, and it's based on a Gemara and Nedarim, that a person can do just that. A person can make a Tanai at the beginning of the year, that any Nedarim that I make throughout the year, if I don't remember the Tanai at the time, as we say in Hataras Nedarim, the Im She'eshkach Tanai Maida Azos, if I forget this Maida and I make a Neder, then retroactively it should be
possible. That's just valid for the day before Rosh Hashanah.
No, that's the point. We do it the day before Rosh Hashanah, so we don't go into Rosh Hashanah with the Avera of unkept Nedarim on us, which is a very serious Avera. But we're saying in there, Harei Ani Moisa Maida Lefneichem V'Ani Mevatim Mikano Lava. From now and on, any Nedarim and Shavuos, etc., that I make between me and the Eibishter, if I forget sometime in the middle of the year, one day I make a neder, having forgotten this tonight, then this tonight should cover it. If you remember the tonight, then it doesn't. Because if you remember the tonight, obviously you're trying to override it. But yeah.
So theoretically, you would have to say just one in your lifetime.
No, because you do it every year. You're right. Edema Yomod. Okay, but maybe. Okay, I suppose. But,
That in itself is a neder.
I don't know. The Gemara talks about standing Erev Yom Kippur and doing this, which implies it has to be a once-a-year thing. The Erev Yom Kippur is where we get to do it by Kol Nidre. The Gemara says Erev Rosh Hashanah. Okay, Erev Rosh Hashanah, which is why we do Hatparas Nedarim Erev Rosh Hashanah, and then we also do Kol Nidre and Yom Kippur, the Rishonim point out, because Yom Kippur is also a sort of Rosh Hashanah. It's the Rosh Hashanah of Yovel.
Implying
that it doesn't last more than a year. Ella, the Shmuel, Lasle Pircha. So when the proof that Shmuel wants to bring from Lo Yachel Dvarei, but other people can be meichel for him, there's no way to slug it up. Which Tosfos actually points out there is. There is actually a different word. There is actually the Gemara uses in Nedarim a different thing. The Gemara uses the word meichel for the Lo Yachel Dvarei for the word Yachel for a different limud. But Tosfos points out they're not really using Yachel, they're using Dvarei, so the word Yachel is still extra anyway. So you have Shmuel's thing is available. Amar Rava v'itemer Rav Nachman Yitzchak. So Rava or Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, "Hainu da'amri inshi." This is like what people say. Tava chada pilpalta charifta. One sharp pepper is better mimolit sana dekari than a whole basket full of pumpkins. The pumpkins are much bigger, but the one tiny little peppercorn has a sharpness that outweighs all. The same way, one amora with amoraim on a much lower level than the tanoim, his argument outweighs four or five tanoim. Yeah, we had it in Megillah as well, but the different reasons why Esther invited Haman to the party. Yeah. Apparently not. We know that Niskafnu Adoris, we know that Amroyim are on a lower level than the Tanoim. Yeah. The fact is, our Mishnah had said Hetan Adorim Perchen Ba'aver. So how does that fit with this? If according to Shmuel, it's not really Perchen Ba'aver. So you have to say, evidently the Mishnah doesn't, the Tanoim of the Mishnah didn't like, he would find some way to slog up Shmuel's proof also. Maybe Taka is using the upshlog the Tosfos uses or whatever, yeah. Next. We said then, so that was Heter Nedarim, that was group number one. Then we started on group number two. Shabbos Chagigas Vameilos, we said, are all Karorim Atulim Besairo. We said they're like mountains hanging on a hill. So Hilchos Shabbos, what do you mean? Michtav Tivan. The Torah says many times in the Torah about Shabbos. When the Mishnah says Mikra Muat, there's very little psukim about it. What do you mean? The answer is, the Gemara says, L'chidra b'Abba. We need, this that the Mishnah is saying, that Hilchos Shabbos are like a mountain hanging on a hair. In other words, there's a huge aspect of Hilchos Shabbos that there's only a very slight source in Torah Shabbat for. That is, for example, what Abba said. The Amar Abba, Ha'choyfu Gumu B'Shabbos. So a person digs a hole in the ground on Shabbos. We have this in Shabbos many times. And he only needs the dirt from the hole. Normally you dig a hole because you need the hole to plant a tree or to put in a post or what have you. He was digging the hole because he needs the dirt. Potter allow. Then he's potter for that malacha. I mean, I'm tired of it. It would be awesome. That's the question. Kaman, who is Rav Abba saying that? Like Rav Shimon, that seems to be only like Rav Shimon. Da'ala malacha she'en etzricha legufa pater alea. Rav Shimon says that a malacha she'en etzricha legufa, you're pater for. Now, what is a malacha she'en etzricha legufa? We learned about this in Shabbos. We had several sugyas on this topic. There's a number of different opinions in Rishonim what the definition of malacha she'en etzricha legufa is. Rashi's definition is basically that it's something, you're doing the malacha only for lack of anything better. If you already had dirt available, you wouldn't bother digging that hole. Because you don't have dirt available, you have no choice but to dig the hole. That's malacha shen tzricha legufa. Because you're not really doing it for a constructive purpose, you're doing it basically for lack of anything better. Tosfos argues with that on a number of grounds. Tosfos over here, Tosfos in Shabbos, says that no, malacha shen tzricha legufa means you're not doing the malacha for the primary purpose that was done in the Mishkan. The purpose of digging holes in the Mishkan was in order to be able to plant plants that they would use for the dyes. Here, you're not digging the hole for the hole for the sake of the hole. You're digging the hole for the sake of the dirt. So it's not being done for the same kind of purposes in the Mishkan. And therefore, it's not malacha shen. Now, there's a machlokas we had in Shabbos, we had in a few other places. There's a machlokas Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda, whether malacha shen is tzricha legufa, yuchayev or not. Reb Shimon holds yupater, Reb Yehuda holds yuchayev. If Reb Abba is saying this din about digging a hole where you only need the dirt, that seems to be, if you're saying you're puppet, that would only be according to Reb Shimon. Now, when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, the halacha is like Reb Shimon, but nevertheless, the Gemara would rather be able to say that Reb Abba is saying something that everybody accepts. Especially because we say that our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah. If it's saying Hilchos Shabbos, our Kaharorim, Afluim, Besaira, you want something that everybody will agree with. But that's what we're going to ask. That's the answer. And the answer is Afilu Tamer L'Rabbi Yehuda. You could even say that Rav Abba's din would work according to Rabbi Yehuda, because the difference is Hasam Masakin Hacham Makalkal. When does Rabbi Yehuda say that you chayev from Malacha Shein Tzurich L'Gufa? Something where you're doing, where after all you're doing something constructive. The case, for example, the case that the type case, so to speak, the original case, where they argue, right, is I'm taking out a mess from a house on Shabbos. Reb Shimon would say you're potter, according to Rashi, because you'd prefer not to. If the mess had been outside in the first place, you wouldn't have bothered taking him out. According to Tosfos, because you're not carrying him out for the same kind of purposes you carried in the Mishkan, you carried out things to use them for the Mishkan. Here you bring out the mess in order to bury him, in order to get rid of him, basically. So Rabbi Yehuda there says Yechayev, because he says Malacha Shein Tzurich L'Gufa Yechayev. But even Rabbi Yehuda would agree in a case, for example, of digging holes in the dirt, which is Makalko. You're ruining that area. You're damaging the house or the field or whatever where you're digging. Even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that such a thing, that it's not a question of Malacha Shein Tzurich L'Gufa, it's a matter of Makalkal. Makalkal is always potter, Medaraisa. Okay, so the question is, Mai Kaharona Ploy in the Saira. So what do we mean by describing this as mountains hanging by a hair? Which implies there is that hair, there is that remez in the Torah for this concept. Where do we have that tongue? Where do we have that remez? The answer is Malachas Machsheves also Torah. There's a basic concept that the Torah only asks a malacha which thought goes into it, meaning that you're doing the malacha for a purpose that you're thinking of. Again, according to Rashi, that would mean, in other words, you wanted to do the malacha for its own sake, not just because you didn't have a choice. And according to Tosfos, you're doing it for the actual, you have in mind the actual reason that they did it in the Mishkan. You're digging a hole to plant a plant in it, just as they did in the Mishkan, so, or a similar idea. Well, Malachas Machshavas, like Siva. This idea of Malachas Machshavas, it doesn't explicitly say it by Shabbos. What does it do? You know, it's from a Hekesh, because it says Malachas Machshavas by the Mishkan. Shabbos is juxtaposed, it's samuch to the Mishkan in a few places in the Torah. Therefore, we learn that the concepts that apply to the Mishkan apply to Shabbos, and this is where we learn all the 39 Malachas. So this whole concept, the whole concept of what defines malacha on Shabbos, that it involved as malachas machshavas, is something that it does not explicitly say in the Torah. You have the word malachas machshavas, but in connection with the Mishkan, that you apply it to Shabbos, and then you derive all the dinim of Shabbos from that. That's like a mountain hanging from a little tiny hill.
Because
it's such a tenuous thing to hang it all on. Yeah. So how do we know it all? Well, also we know it from Torah Shabbat Pet. Next, the Mishnah said Chagigah. That Chagigah is another thing. That's Karor and Tloim Besara. And again, the question is Michtav Siva. The Torah says you have to bring a carbon Chagigah. We said that the Torah says Chagoytemoisay Chagu Hashem. We said yesterday that it means you have to bring a carbon Chagigah. The answer is loitzricha. No, but what the Mishnah needs to tell us is l'chid amale rapapa labaya. It's the Mishnah is trying to hint to us what rapapa asked abaya. The question is mimai dehay b'chad. Basic question, a question of vocabulary. Pashut mimai dehay b'chagoysem oisach chag l'Hashem tzvicha. How do we know b'chol that this word b'chagoysem, that you should make a chag to Hashem, means that you should shecht and offer a korban shlamin? Do machoygu chaga chamar rachmana. Maybe it means celebrate, make a simcha. Yeah. Or Tosfos says another possibility. V'yachoygu means dance. Loshen v'choylos. Yachoygu v'yanu kashikar. So v'chagoy simoysa chag v'Hashem. You have to be dancing. You have to dance by simchas v'yaseh sheva throughout the 7 days of Sukkos. Where v'chalal do we see anything about a korban? No, obviously you have to eat, but the Torah is not saying it. So according to Rashi, that's what it means. It means have a simcha, laharbe simcha. So go ahead, shecht the animals, give them to hay. Where do we see anything about that or about kabbana?
Of course you need kabbana.
That's the question. How do we know you need kabbana? That's a very basic idea, a very fundamental idea that we need to know. Okay, so Rabbi answers him back, answering the question with another question, as we Jews usually do. Elamayata, he says, well, by that logic, if you're going to say the word chagosim, you think means make a simcha or dance. What about Moshe comes to Paris? Shalach hasami v'yachoguli b'midbar. Hachinami d'chogu chogahu. What, you think Moshe is telling Paris we need to go make a party in the desert, or we need to go dance in the desert? Okay, you might say, yeah, that's exactly what Moshe is telling Paray. Can't. Vaksiv, because we have later on in the story, Vayom and Moshe, after Makas Choshech, when Paray is ready to send everybody except for the animals, Moshe tells him, Vayom and Moshe, Gam ata titin v'yadein v'zvachim v'oilus. Not only are we going to take our animals, but you yourself are going to put into our hands zvachim and oilus. Now, oilus obviously means just that, a korban oilah. Therefore, zvachim also has to mean a korban. And what does that mean? So this is all a continuation. All that Moshe is effectively telling Paray, when I told you all those months ago, shalach hasami v'yachogu b'midbar, I meant that we need to bring korbanos, shlomim. That's what I meant by v'yachogu. So don't think we can get away without animals. We need animals for those shlomim, and not only we're going to take ours, but you're going to supply us with some also. Fine, ain't simcha el b'basa. Where do we know there has to be basa of korbanos? To be basa of chulin. Okay, the Gemara says fine. Still with the chagos. Dilma hachi kamer achmana ichlu v'shtu v'chaygu chaga kamay. Fine, but maybe the Torah means eat and drink and celebrate a chag in front of me. Meaning, just like you just said, what you just said, basically, what you just asked is what the Gemara is asking at this point in the argument. Maybe the chagoyse moise, chag l'Hashem, does not mean actually shechting animals for korbanos. It means you have to shecht animals in order that you should have meat to eat. Nothing about korbanos. And then with Moshe and Paray also, you know, maybe it means he's telling Paray we're going to need oilos to bring to Hashem, and we're going to need zvachim for ourselves to eat. Not necessarily a shlomim. The answer is lo sapadaitach. You can't think that way. Dichtiv v'lo yolin chelev chagi ad boker. The Torah says in Mishpatim, don't allow the chelev of my chag to remain overnight until the morning. On the mizbeach. Now, if the Torah just means, when the Torah says, just means celebrate, sheft karbonis, and not karbonis, sheft animals, and eat them, then how do you have fat that's relevant to say, don't leave it overnight? If we're talking about chulin animals, there's no fat that there's a problem leaving overnight. Yes, not carbon. If you have a chulin animal and you have fat left over, you can keep that fat around for as long as you want.
We're falling away from all the other explanations until this point.
No, we're going to end up using a few of them. We're going to still end up using the Yechogeli Bamidbar. We're first trying to figure out the Gemara is going through over here trying to figure out how we see right now what the Gemara right now where we're at is that the Mishnah had said that Chagigas is Karor and Apulin Besaira, meaning there's only a very tenuous link to Torah Shabbat Peh when it comes to Chagigas. Torah Shabbat Peh gives us all the details. There's a little tiny thing in Torah Shabbat Sav that tells us that. Right now, the point we're at in the discussion is the Gemara is saying it seems it's much more than a tenuous thing. It seems like there's a solid proof in the Torah that the word v'chagosim means to bring a carbon. Right now we're at the point. Why? Because v'chagosim can't just mean eating and drinking and then eat and drink and be merry, because then there's no chelet chagi. Necessarily, it has to mean a carbon. Well, then it's not kahara and atzmoin b'saira anymore. Then you have a solid proof in the Torah that there has to be a carbon chagiga. That's where we're at in the discussion. But the Gemara says still the Dilma Hakakam Rachmana still, who says maybe what the pasuk means is Chelev Habab is Man Chag. It doesn't mean there's a Chelev of the Shlamim. Let's say there are no Shlamim, but any other korbanos that are brought during the Chag, or Rashi says actually, for example, you bring your own Nedarim during Yom Tov, which, yes, the Torah says that the Yom Tov is the time to bring your Nedarim and Nedavos to the Vismikash. Any korban that you're bringing during that period, Lo Yolin, it should not be left overnight. Maybe that's what it means. Maybe it doesn't mean there's a special Yom, the specific korban chagiga, but you're bringing various other korbanos, and those you have to make sure specifically during the Yom Tov, that they shouldn't stay overnight. That's the Gemara's next question. Elamai Ata, so what does that imply? If you were to explain the pasuk like that, if you were to say that the word chag has nothing to do with chagigas, lo yolin chelev chagi ad boker just means whatever fat happens to be brought during Yom Tov, then what? You would say, habab is man chagud lo yolin, that would imply only the fat that's brought during the Yom Tovim is not allowed to stay overnight, but from the rest of the year you can leave it around as long as you want. Can't. There's another pasuk that says kol ha'layla ad ha'boker, that the kohenim have all night until the morning to burn the fats of the carbon. And after that, they become pasul of lina. So we see already from that. So we see from that that there's no difference between Yom Tov and the rest of the year. So we're back to, in that case. So that what would that imply? That chelev chagi can't just mean korbanos in general that are brought during Yom Tov. It has to mean a korban chagiga. So there we go. We got a source for a korban chagiga. But the Mishnah is implying there isn't one, so we're still not satisfied with that. The Gemara says maybe not necessarily. Dilma imahu. Maybe still we need two psukim to teach us about the fat being left overnight. Why? Because if we only had the pasuk kol ha'layla ad ha'boker, hava amina, ha'hula esse, you might have thought, okay, there's a mitzvah esse, you have to bring the fat sometime during the night. You have to burn the fat on the fire, on the mizbeach, sometime during the night. But if you didn't, okay, you're over on an asset, big deal. Kotzer rachmona hai lalav. So maybe you would say that, no, we find many mitzvahs where there's an esse and a lois esse. Maybe the esse is the kol ha'layla ad ha'boker, and the lois esse is lo yolen chelev chagi. Still no proof that there's a separate korban called chagi, which has separate rules. Yeah. Maybe it's, so that's the thing. We're back to, maybe it means just generically, any korbanos brought during Yom Tov. Well, says you can't. Lalav, cause of karach rino. For a lav, we have a different pasuk. The pasuk says, with the korban pesach, don't let any of the meat that you offer in the evening on the first day, don't let it stay over for the morning. which means the pasuk actually has a couple. The pasuk there actually has a couple of meanings. In Tzachim we learned that means really it teaches us about the Korban Pesach can be eaten according to Rav Elazar Azariah, not Rav Elazar Azariah, according to the Chachamim until Alois Hashachar. We learn from it about the Chagiga can be eaten as by Yom Rishon LaBoker really means the second day because you have 2 days to eat the Chagiga. But still, you can also understand it to mean that the pieces of the korban have to be burnt sometime during the night. They can't be left over for the morning, for Pesach morning. Right? The Gemara says, so what? We're doing a lava all the b'shnei lavin ve'aseh. So what? Maybe all the Torah would mean by that is if you do leave over that fat overnight, you've been over on two lavin and one aseh. We have a lot of times where the Torah repeats a mitzvah for emphasis. Doesn't mean the other pasuk is teaching us a different mitzvah. It's teaching us that this mitzvah is so serious that you're disobeying the Eibishter twice over by not doing it.
That's why it should be
not to teach us a different din. So far we really don't have proof at all that the word chagi has to mean a korban chagiga. Again, the Mishnah had said it's karor and apluy and besider, which means there has to be something in the Torah that hints to the concept of a korban chagiga, but it's a very tenuous link. Here, we don't even seem to have that at this point. Ella after midbar. So no, rather, how do we know that there is a korban chagiga? We learn it. Zera shava from the word midbar. Here Moshe tells Paro that the Jewish people should celebrate and should make a chagiga in the desert. And the pasuk in Amos that we had the other day talking about whether there was a korban tamid during the 40 years in the desert we had on Daf Vav, we quoted a pasuk. The Eibishter says, did you offer me zvachim and a mincha in the midbar? You didn't all those years, because we said on Daf Vav, because the Edmund Nezufim, they were under a ban of so to speak, like a ban of Nidui to the Eibishter, and therefore they didn't bring Korbanos all these years. Yeah, we said they weren't allowed to. The Levium maybe brought them, whatever. But so Malah Alon Zvachim Afkan Zvachim. So therefore, just as over there, obviously the word Zvachim means Korbanos to the Eibishter, because that's Higashim Li, the Eibishter saying you didn't bring me. So Afkan Zvachim, the same way when Moshe says that we're going to be doing something by Midbar. It means there's going to be korbanos involved, not just a celebration, not just eating and drinking and having fun, and not just dancing. Okay, so there's our proof. Now the question. But that means that once we say that zvachim has a double meaning actually. It means a korban, but also zvachim specifically in the Torah the word zevach means a shlomim. When the word zevach, okay, let me rephrase that. The word zevach has a double meaning. Zevach can mean stam. You shecht an animal in order to eat it. At the end of Vayetse, for example, Vayizbach Yaakov Zevach Bahar. Doesn't mean he brought a korban. Just means that he shechted animals and they had a party over there. But when it's mentioned in connection with korbanos, then zvachim specifically means shlomim. No other kind of korban. Because when the pasuk introduces the concept of shlomim, being zevach shlomim or korbanos. Yeah. And in a few other places, the Torah refers to zevach, Torah shlomim, whatever. Zevach is a word used in connection with shlomim. So therefore, if we didn't have the pasuk from Amos, we wouldn't know what we would think that we wouldn't know what zvachim means. Where the pasuk in Amos teaches us that zvachim, since it's together with mincha, means a korban, and now we know it means necessarily it means a korban shlomim. The Gzeir Shabbat by Midbar teaches us that is what Moshe is telling Paro. We have to bring a shlomim in the Midbar, a shlomim that is via Chaygu, that's in honor of the Chag, namely a Chagija. Yeah. But then the question is, my Karor and Aploy Messiah. Okay, but why are we calling this a mountain suspended by a thread? In that case, then you have a real raya for it. A Gzeir Shabbat is a powerful raya. We learn many things from Gzeir Shabbat. The answer is because this is different. Divrei Torah, Divrei Kabbalah, lo yalfinan. The usual rule is we don't learn Gzeira Shava between Torah and Nevi'im. Divrei Kabbalah means Nevi'im. Usually a Gzeira Shava is strictly within Torah, within the five Chumashim. Here, where we have to get one from Nevi'im, that's Karor and Aploy and Desire. That's a weaker kind of thing. That's the tenuousness. Next, the Mishnah said Me'ilos, that the concept of Me'ilah, is, again, Karon and Chulin v'Saira. There's many halachas, but there's only a slight hint here in Torah Shabbat Sav. The question is, again, the Gemara from Mishnah Ksuvan. The Torah explicitly says, nefesh ki sechto mal amal b'Hashem, whatever the lashon is over there, they have to bring a korban, and they have to bring a chomesh, etc. The Torah spells it out. You're right, but what we need, the statement in the Mishnah is teaching us, is it's hinting at the following din. Now, as background for this din, there is the concept, the din of, when throughout Shas, whenever we talk about the din of Me'ilah, generally speaking, when it's unspecified, when we talk about Me'ilah, it's B'shoigig. This din that a person brings the chomesh, brings the keren and the chomesh and a korban asham meilos that we mention every morning, is only if it was b'shogeg, nefesh or chata b'shgoga mikadshei Hashem. If it was b'mezid, the person gets malchus, but there's none of this other stuff. So therefore, Mishnah in Me'ilah says hashliach sha'asa shlichus. So now, suppose you have a case like this: a balabos, Reuben, has money of hektish. He mistakenly gave it to a shliach and tells the shliach, Shimon, go to the store and buy something for me. Now, since hashliach sha'asa shlichus, so if the shliach accomplishes his shlichus, if he goes and buys the thing, balabais mal. The balabais has committed meila because he's the one who, by accident, misappropriated that money and gave it to the shliach to do.
He had no intent.
That's the point. He had no intent, but that's what meila is. It's no intent. Loy osa shlichus shliach mal. But if he didn't do his shlichus. For example, one example would be that if he didn't buy the thing that the balabas told him to, he went and bought something else. Shliach mal. Then we say that the shliach is the one who committed meila because he's the one who he's not a shliach anymore. He broke off his shlichus and is doing it as an independent actor. No, because he's not doing it on behalf of the balabas anymore.
Well, the balabas said it's right.
The question is, okay, but if he did his, so even if he did his shlichus, why is the balabas the one who committed meila? Where do we ever have a case where one person does the wrong thing? The shliach is the one who actually spends the money on the object, and the other one, the balabas, is going to be chayev. Usually we say, ein shliach l'dvar avera. We usually say that if Reuben sends Shimon to do an avera, we say it's Shimon who's responsible, not Reuben. Why all of a sudden here? If Reuben is a gangster and he hires Shimon, a hitman, to kill Levi, Shimon is the one who's going to be chayav misa.
Yeah, Shimon, I'm coming.
But ain't shliach l'dvar avera. Ain't shliach l'dvar avera. Exactly. This is an avera over here, committing the illah.
That's the avera. It has to be made, shouldn't it?
That's going to be part of the discussion over here. There's actually Rashi over here, and in Kedushin, where there's also a sugya about this, gives two different reasons why we say when we say that the responsibility goes from the balabas to the shliach. We'll see that actually in a minute when we start talking about when one of them is b'mezid. We'll get to that. That's the question. Heinu Karo. So it's an unusual thing. Heinu Karo and Athulin Besaira. So there you have it. It's a mountain hanging by a thread, a major concept in Hilchos Me'ilah, that the guilt can be transitive like that. It can be instead of the shliach, the balabas who sent him. The Gemara is assuming right now that you have only a very slight source for this entire Shabbat Sav, which at the end of the sugya we'll see what the actual slight source is.
Or the case of Balabai.
No, we're talking about the first case where the shliach does his shlichus. Yeah. The balabas tells him, "Go buy me a coat," yeah. And he goes and buys him the coat. We're saying the balabas is the one who committed meila, even though he's not the one who actually spent the money.
But he gave that money to the shliach, didn't he?
Well, that's why he has committed meila. But that's the question. That's the question. The act of meila actually involves misusing the money. If the Baal HaBos, if Reuven had just given the money to Shimon and told him, go buy the coat, and then Shimon just went and gave it back to Reuven, no me'ilah has been committed because it hasn't left the domain of Hekdesh. It still belongs to Hekdesh. Once he spends it, then that money becomes chulin, and that's when me'ilah has been committed.
Well, there can be two situations. Either a situation when the shliach is given the money, or another situation when the shliach takes the money from his master in a drawer or in a coffer, and he mistakenly takes the hekdesh instead of the chulin.
So that we'll get to in a minute. One second. But here for one case at a time. Right now we're talking about it's the Baal HaBos who made the mistake. He grabbed the wrong bag of money and gave it to the shliach. Yes, he grabbed the wrong bag, but at the time he hands it to the shliach, no me'ilah has been done yet because it hasn't been exchanged for any other object. Me'ilah is committed either when you exchange the object of Hekdesh for another one, or when, as we'll talk about later in the sugya, I guess we probably won't get to it today because it's getting late, when the... Can you close the door, please? Or when you use the object to the value of a shavah prutah. Amar Rava. So Rava says, why? What's the big deal? Well, my kusha. Dilma shiny me'ilah di alpha chet mitruma. Maybe me'ilah is different. We make a gzeira shava of the word chet from truma by me'ilah v'chota b'shkaga m'kotshe Hashem by truma v'leisisu olav chet. Which therefore, mahas m'shlucha shalom k'mayi, se'afkan shlucha shalom k'mayi, what you just mentioned. We have a basic concept throughout Torah that a person can set a shliach to do something for him, and that shliach, whatever he does is considered as if the sender, as if the principal, accomplished the same thing. Therefore, by me'ilah, the same rule applies. Which, yeah, Tosfos points out over there in Kedushin that we wouldn't necessarily override that with the rule that ain't shliach v'dvar aveira, because here there's not really an aveira, it's not a mazid thing, it's a shogig thing. You could argue that shloch hashalom k'moitei still applies to a shogig.
One's positive, one's a mitzvah, one's a negative thing.
Well, truma is a positive thing, sure, but we learn it even for things that are optional. I mean, the reason why the Gemara brings it in Kedushin is because the Mishnah describes over there making a shliach for Kedushin. Kedushin is not a mitzvah chiyuvis. It is in a way, I guess, because you have a mitzvah pruvu, but it's more of a mitzvah chiyumis. You have the opportunity to do it, you do it. As opposed to truma is a mitzvah chiyuvis. You have grain, you gotta take truma from it. So therefore, it's not such a haroran that flew in Besaira. It's not such an off the wall thing to say that we would apply the usual rule over here that shloch hasharon k'mayse.
So obvious.
No, on the contrary, it is fairly obvious. Once we know that shloch hasharon k'mayse, it's fairly obvious that yes, the as long as the shliach did what the Baal HaBos told him to, that the Baal HaBos should be chayav. Mela, if he changed the shlichos, okay, well then he changed the shlichos. He's no longer acting as a shliach anymore. Yeah. Ella Amar Rava, Lenitzrucha El Chidatanya. No, what we need actually, when the Mishnah is talking about Harod and Atluyin Besaira, something in Hilchot Me'ilah, that a basic idea, which there's no clear, easy source for it, is the following din, El Chidatanya. It's the following din that we learn in a Braisa. Continuing on this topic of the guy sending a Shliach. Nizka Balabayis for a Nizka Shliach. Suppose after he sent the money, the Baal HaBos remembered, wait a minute, that was Hekdesh money. At this point now, he's amazed. But the shliach did not remember. The shliach still thinks that it's the shliach still thinks that it's cholin money. Shliach ma, then the shliach is the one who committed me'ilah. Because so this is the thing. So Rashi gives two different reasons why that is. Here Rashi says the reason is once the Baal HaBos realized that it's hektish money, effectively he has withdrawn his sponsorship of that shliach. He sent him already. Okay, they didn't have phones in those days to call him back.
He's withdrawn the sponsorship, yes or no, in his kavana, but until he tells it to the Shia, did he really withdraw it?
No. I mean, yes, as a matter of fact, for example, I mean, you have a din in Gittin like that. You have a case in Gittin where the husband can appoint a Shia to send a get to his wife. Technically, after he sends that Shia, he's allowed to be mevatel that Shia.
That's different because in a get you need the kavana of the husband.
Well, here you also need the kavana. Here you need the lack of kavana rather of the Baal HaBos in order for it to be me'ilah, in order for it to be chayav in the asham and so forth.
So,
Once he has that kavana, then he's revoked that shlichus. That's what Rashi says over here.
At the unbeknownst to the...
Well, that's going to be the next question of the Gemara. But wait, let's first discuss the case itself. That's what Rashi says over here. In Kedushin, Rashi says a different reason. The reason is because basically Me'ilah devolves on whichever one, whichever party in the transaction is the shogig. Because originally the balabas was the shogig, then it can devolve on him. Once he becomes a mezid, it can't devolve on him anymore. Me'ilah can never apply to a mezid. So necessarily it has to get transferred to the shliach. Because he's the next one available. You even have a case over there, the Mishnah describes over there. You have a case where both of them end up remembering, and then it's the storekeeper when he spends the money, not knowing that a hekdesh was going to be chayiv in Me'ilah. It keeps on jumping from one person to another, and you know, as long as it can find a shogig. That's the question, though. Shliach Anya, my kavod, the poor shliach, what did he do? How could he know better? How can he blame the shliach? Hainu ka'aron, atluin b'saira. So there's a mountain hanging by a hair where it's very unobvious that you should apply such a din. And nevertheless, you do.
Very, very obvious.
Yeah. And we'll finish off with a question on that. We'll finish off with a question and leave the rest of the sugya for tomorrow. Amar Ravashi, my kusha. Still, what's the problem? Dilma midi to have our moitzi mois hektish lechulin. Maybe it's no different than any case where you spend hektish money. I did it already. So, my kosher, so what's the problem? Dilma midi dahava. What's the question, Ravashi says, why do you find that so off the wall? Dilma midi dahava moitzi mois hektish lecholin. Maybe, and it's a plain old case, where it's a plain old case, forget about shluchim or anything, any case where a person takes money of hektish and spends it on cholin, b'shoigig, that is the definition of me'ilah. Once our shliach over here is no longer a shliach, once he's an independent actor, because like Rashi says over here, the balabas revoked his shlichus, okay, he may not know better, but fine. So an average person who picks up a bag full of hektish money, not knowing it's hektish, and spends it, has committed me'ilah, even though he didn't know better. We're blaming the shliach. We're not blaming the shliach, but okay, the din of me'ilah devolves on him the same way as it would if there had never been a shlichus in the first place. It's not so off the wall. It's not so unobvious once you have the basic principles of me'ilah in mind.
You're not quite the same as one person doing both things together, meaning deciding to take the money by mistake and then to spend it.
No, but the taking the money by mistake is not the key thing. That's the thing. The spending it is the key thing. When the shliach is doing it on behalf of the balabas, when both of them are shogegim, and the shliach did exactly what the balabas told him, then we apply the rule en shliach. The rule shlucha shalom kamari. So that's why the me'ilah devolves on the balabas, even though he didn't spend it. It's considered as though he did because the shliach is like his yad.
They both are responsible, but just one person.
Because again, that's why we need what Rashi says in Kedur. Well, for in terms of the Gemara over here, it's because Shlucha Shalom Kamaytai. The shliach is not the one responsible. The shliach is not the one. Since we don't apply any shliach to the Bar Aveira over here, because like Tosfos said there in Kedushin, there's no Bemezid over here to apply that. Then you apply the usual rule, Shlucha Shalom Kamaytai. If Reuven sends Shimon to be Makadish Rivka, we don't say that Shimon is now married to Rivka. We say Reuven is. Even though Shimon is the one who actually gave her the ring and say Harayat Makudeshus. The same thing when Reuven sends Shimon to take Truma for him, which is where we learn the whole concept of Shlichus. So by the same token, when Reuven sends Shimon to buy this coat or whatever, Shimon is the one who actually went to the store and picked out the coat and paid them and put the money on the counter, but he's doing it as an extension of Reuven.
But when we say Kamuso, he has to be exactly Kamuso, and the fact that he doesn't know that he's vow revoked in his mind that shlichus doesn't make him kamosei.
That's the thing. That's why not. He's not kamosei anymore. Now he's considered an independent actor. Exactly. When do we say shlichus and kamosei? Only if both of them are shogeg.
Right.
And that's when it goes back to Reuven. In any other case, it's going to fall on Shimon. Meaning, either if Reuven Taka knew that, realized afterwards that it is hektish money, and therefore, like Rashi says, he revoked Shimon's shlichus. Or if Shimon, instead of buying a coat, went and bought a scarf. Either of those cases, he's not a shliach anymore.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
But there he's doing exactly what his master told him to do.
But his master revoked the shlichus without him knowing. So the same way as we say by get, that the husband can revoke the shlichus, and that's it. The get is now a worthless piece of paper.
Because that's the advantage of the husband.
No. That's neither here nor there whose advantage it is. The halacha is that the shliach only exists at the pleasure of his mishaleach. So I guess we'll continue tomorrow. It is complicated. Me'ilah is not one of the easier topics in Shas, and, you know.